Mazzara and Parra project to Alamora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Bits scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Oh, a lot of runs scored yesterday. A big offensive day around baseball. And welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. We're here to talk about it. A lot of home runs to break down, plus somebody's favorite fruit, which is a new one for us. We'll get to that in just a second. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White and Al Melchior. Did you guys hit home runs yesterday? Everybody else did.
I feel left out.
It was such a crazy night for offense. Crazy night.
Yeah, and you know what? Night. There were really a lot of very good pitchers that pitched yesterday. And it's not even that they did so badly. Just the bad ones were really bad. Smiley was bad. Shields was bad. But man.
Is Smiley a good pitcher?
Well, yeah. I mean, people want to drop Drew Smiley. We'll answer that. But just to put things in perspective, your stat of the day. On Monday, there were 121 runs scored. 15 games, 121 runs, 8 per game. On Tuesday, there were 165 runs scored, 11 per game. That's a pretty significant jump, 3 per game.
It is. Yeah. It is. And you know, the thing is, Adam, I don't know how you go through the box scores every day, but how I do, you know, I the players who get multiple hits are usually the ones I take a closer look at. I was telling you before the podcast, I was running late today because I did not shower the night before, as I usually do on a podcast day, as we talked about before on the podcast. And so I saw these 2 and 3 hit games and I was just like,
yep,
screw it. Yep. These players are, we know who these players are.
So Scott's talked now about a showering habit. You've talked about showering habits, Adam.
Like on the air, you mean off the air?
On the air. Wasn't there a discussion a few weeks back?
I have. Yeah. I also told Scott.
I was
Scott,
referring back to that discussion.
Yeah. So
I told Scott to skip a day, you know, which he didn't seem too inclined to do.
No, it's probably not in anyone's best interest to do that, Adam.
All right, Al, let's hear about your showers. Everybody wants to know. Describe them
to
us.
They're really boring.
Uneventful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It does involve bath gel, though.
Bath gel?
Gel? No, you mean the body wash.
Body wash,
thank you. Who calls
it
bath gel?
Bath gel.
You're right. Body wash sounds a little more manly.
Yeah.
Only a little bit, though.
Here's our email of the day. It's from Adam in Brooklyn. Oh, by the way, I promise I'm not going to turn this show into a Corey Kluber, bitch fest, I'll just say. I won't, but we will.
I bet you do.
We'll talk about him. He's coming up later. But here's Adam, very important email from Adam in Brooklyn. We talked about our favorite fruits earlier in the week or last week. The best fruit is the pluot, a delicious and real hybrid of a plum mixed with an apricot.
I'm glad he clarified that it was real.
Yeah, and he even sent us a Wikipedia page for it. If that is real, I am quite interested in the plum-apricot hybrid, the pluot. That would be very good.
Apricot's kind of underrated, I think. Yeah. Kind of has a fruit roll-up taste to it that I like. I don't know. There seems to be a sharp divide on the apricot.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of either the plum or the apricot.
Really?
So I'm out on the pluot.
The apricot is really, I mean, it's a dry fruit. So it's not, you don't go to the supermarket, buy fresh fruit, come home with an apricot. It's different, Scott, you know.
You don't?
They're just different. They're just different than like fresh fruit. They're dry fruit. I think it's a separate category.
You've never had an apricot that... Wait.
I've never had an apricot that's not like a dried fruit.
It's not dried. That's not a dried apricot. You've only had it in dried form.
Yeah.
I guess I've only had it in canned and dried form. It's certainly not dry in the can.
I've never had that. All right. I'll give that a shot. Now let's talk baseball now, I think. All right. Is Drew Smiley droppable, guys, with a 4.77 ERA and a 7.86 ERA in his last 5 starts?
I still can't quite get there. So he's in the category of can't start him, can't drop him. And that's a category where you can't keep a pitcher for very long because eventually there's going to be somebody you're going to want to pick up or, you know, you got to find a job for Drew Smiley. So I'll be saying something different in a week or two, but right now he's in that kind of purgatory for me.
Yeah, I know. I just can't get over how dominant he was at the start of the year with those back-to-back 11 strikeout starts, and he's still giving strikeouts. I just think it's a lot of home run correction all at once. And this start, I think he only gave up one home run, so it wasn't the issue there. But
well, it wasn't only four innings.
For the most part, this rough patch, that's what it's been.
Yeah, 12 hits, 8 runs, a home run in 4 innings at Kansas City. And interesting with Smiley, he's pitched basically the same amount of innings this year compared to last year. 66 this year, 66 and 2/3 last year. The walk to strikeout ratio, pretty similar. Walks are up a bit, strikeouts are up a bit. The thing that I found interesting was that, you know, his ERA is 4.77. Last season after 66 and 2/3, it was 3.11. And you know, I don't usually care about this, but his FIP was 3.91. So I'll let you guys decide. Does that mean Drew Smiley wasn't really as good as his ERA last year? It was only 66 and 2/3.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. I mean, the one ratio that brings up his FIP is the home run. He's going to give up a lot of home runs. So if the whip is low enough, I think he can outperform his FIP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he has a 1.18.
If I didn't worry about the home runs, Smiley wouldn't be in purgatory for me. You know, but you say you just gave up one home run, but this was, you know, Kauffman Stadium. He's given up home runs at the Trop. That's something that does concern me. But we'll see. We'll see how Smiley does when he faces a lineup that doesn't have Whit Merrifield and Paulo Orlando. And,
yeah.
And see how he fares.
All those household names.
I mean, they are hitting, though, to be fair.
Oh, they are, yeah.
It's a tough matchup right now, no matter who's
Whit Merrifield might be a new nominee for best name in baseball, by the way. It's like an 1890s throwback, I feel like.
Whit Merrifield is pretty old school. I haven't seen Whit Merrifield play, but he better wear high socks, like up to his knees, and stirrups.
Yeah.
Instead of doing like the normal who stood out thing, we can say a couple players, but I think it's better that we just kind of get to the, you know, just kind of get into it and talk about everything from last night. I did want to talk about Eduardo Rodriguez, though. 6 innings, 2 runs on 6 hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts. Is that kind of what you expect from Eduardo Rodriguez, who is 64% owned?
I mean, that's a strikeout every other inning, so if we're going to be super literal-minded here, which we shouldn't be.
Right.
not exactly. Right. But no, that is the kind of start that we saw very frequently from Rodriguez last year. You know, not a lot of strikeouts, a lot of fly balls, and really good control. So, yeah, I think in a nutshell, this is pretty close to what we should expect.
I'm kind of hoping he has more strikeout potential than he showed last year, just because he had a lot of games peppered in where it was like 8 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts. So I just wonder if he has a little more potential there than he showed last year, but remains to be seen. I don't think he's a rush out and Adam based on this start.
Rush out and Adam. All right. That's Eduardo Rodriguez.
You know, you just talked about high Sox, mm-hmm. and you just mentioned one Red Sox. So can we complete the pair and talk about Mookie Betts?
Oh, we sure can. 3 home runs yesterday. He is the number 2 hitter in fantasy now behind Jose Altuve. He might have been even going into yesterday, but yeah, Betts had quite the game. 2 homers off Kevin Gausman, 1 later in the game. So yeah, go ahead, discuss.
Well, I think I want to put this opposite field thing to rest that I keep bringing up with him, because the 3 home runs were hit to left, center, and right. So he crushed them all. I had written about a week ago, I'd written a piece on him and how his pull power tendencies make him a lot better at Fenway than at other places. Not that it, you know, makes it matter in terms of sitting or starting him, but now it's one game, but we've been seeing some incremental improvement from Betts this year in that regard. So there's nothing to be worried about with Betts.
Yeah, it's one game, but 3 home runs in one game will tighten up those splits, the home away splits.
Yeah.
Good bit. That just in, you know, to that was his first opposite field home run ever.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, he's 23, so you would think he would probably grow in that respect.
Well, as I mentioned, Betts is the number 2 hitter in fantasy. Altuve is number 1, and Altuve is already a guy who, in your minds, has jumped up from late first round pick to second round pick to now. I'm not sure exactly where everybody stands on him, but roughly top 5. That's Altuve. Is Mookie Betts now in that category? Is he a surefire top six pick right now.
No, there's just too much competition there when you throw in the three elite third basemen, and Kershaw's still in that mix. So he's definitively first round territory when before he was late second, early third.
Al, you agree?
Yeah, I think maybe more. Yeah, you know, at the turn, you know, you could take him 13th or 14th potentially, but you could also take him, you know, 11th.
Yeah, let's do a Twitter poll. I'm going to sign on. I'm going to do a Twitter poll right now. Oh, I think I did one yesterday and I forgot to bring the results. But now, that'll remind me. I'll get that. It's about Corey Kluber. The Twitter poll is going to be, we're going to have about, 40 minutes to see what people say. Probably won't get that many votes. Would you rather have Giancarlo Stanton or Mookie Betts rest of season? And we'll see. I think I'd take Betts. And part of it is that Stanton's injury prone. And, part of it is that I think Mookie Betts is a superstar. So, I have a feeling you guys would still take Stanton.
No, that does sound like an adjustment I should make in my rankings. Maybe I would still take Stanton.
Yeah, I'll still take Stanton.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put this poll up and let's get on with it here. If you're looking for a better way to buy and sell tickets to concerts, to sporting events, if you're tired of huge fees before checkout, well, you need to try SeatGeek. SeatGeek has made it easier than ever to buy and sell tickets. I seriously love SeatGeek. You can probably tell just by the way I talk about it on the podcast, but I tell everyone about SeatGeek. It's the only place I go when I need tickets. I use the free SeatGeek app. You can go on the website as well, but here's what I love about it. The tickets are ranked based on value, so you find the great deals right away. You see all the seats available on other sites pulled into one convenient place. You won't miss a deal. They'll give you alerts when prices fall, and of course, no hidden fees at checkout, unlike on StubHub. On StubHub, if you buy a $50 ticket, you check out, it's so much more, but not on SeatGeek. Trust me, people, this is the best way to buy and sell tickets. And our listeners get a $20 rebate on their first purchase, which is pretty sweet. Here's how you do it. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY today. I've got my little check from SeatGeek sitting on the counter waiting to deposit it, $20 from my first purchase. So yeah, take advantage of that great, great offer. Some news. Whew. Tough day for Scott yesterday with Alex Wood going on the DL. I saw his conflicting tweet. He's happy that Julio Urias is back up, and Urias may start tomorrow at the Cubs. By the way, Kenta Maeda, day-to-day with a hand injury, took a pitch off the hand, I think a comebacker, so he might not be able to pitch yesterday. But Wood's on the DL with elbow soreness. Urias is back up. Corey Kelly asks us on Twitter, would you drop Jameson Taillon for Julio Urias in a 10-team league?
In a 10-team league, yes, I would do that.
I don't think I would, but I mean, I certainly would have before Urias' first start when we knew he was coming up and you know he hadn't bombed against the Mets yet. But I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not sure how much of Urias I'd seen dropped in my leagues, but I'm not sure the reaction to his return was the same, knowing how it went the first time. And I think that's fair, just from managing your roster and considering roster scarcity scenario. Well, but you know, obviously, if he pitches well against the Cubs in this next turn, then I imagine we'll all wish we had picked him up.
Urias is 73% owned. So you've got Drew Smyly on your team. Julio Urias is available. Are you making that swap?
No.
Yeah, I guess, you know, again, I'm not quite ready to pass up what could be some good performance from Smyly later on in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Eduardo Rodriguez or Julio Urias?
I'd do that.
Wait, you'd rather
I could
have Urias?
Do that too. I feel like I'm fumbling my response with Urias because I don't want us to get stuck on the topic. But it's just a really weird situation. I assumed they weren't going to bring him back up for quite a while. Like right. They would go to Ross Stripling if a new opening developed, because it just seemed like, okay, he could use more time down there, clearly. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I understand maybe nerves played a role in that first start. The walk rate was not at all what we'd expect from Urias, which would seem to support that idea, but it's just going to be It's just going to depend on how he performs, I think, in terms of whether or not he sticks and whether or not we should own him in fantasy.
Well, you got two pitchers going today that are pretty interesting, Matt Shoemaker and Michael Fulmer. And I did drop Arias for Shoemaker last week after Arias' bad start and after he got demoted. Well, that might have been before he got demoted, but when he got demoted, I certainly thought he'd be gone much longer than this.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think with the way that teams approach pitchers now, young pitchers, and how they want to limit their pitch counts and how they want to limit their innings, it does put a pretty significant cap on the ceilings of these rookie pitchers, especially a 19-year-old.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think that's part of the calculus in wanting to give Smiley more of a chance if I had that dilemma of dropping him for Arias. But, you know, you bring in Eduardo Rodriguez as a, you know, an example. And I just don't, I think it's worth the gamble there that, you know, you could get some great innings from Arias, you know, while he's around.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Miguel Sano. He's on the DL with a hamstring strain. Max Kepler will be recalled. Do you care at all about Max Kepler?
Not that much, no. Not outside of AL only. It's been kind of a letdown this year after a breakthrough 2015.
Jose Reyes is going to begin a minor league rehab assignment today. That assignment can last no longer than 2 weeks. So you've got at least, or at most 2 weeks before Reyes has to be activated. We'll see what happens between now and then. Trevor Story has been slumping, moved down in the order. They scored 55 runs yesterday, and he did nothing. So that was disappointing. Evan Gattis caught for the third time this season. We get this question a lot. Let's answer it again. It's from Sam in Columbus. It says, "Dear Sam, Coach, and Woody," that's a Cheers reference, "where will Evan Gattis rank amongst catchers once he is eligible?"
I would probably put him fifth, which actually would slot him just ahead of Salvador Perez. If I see him, I see Gattis, Perez, and Wellington Castillo all having pretty similar value.
So you have Castillo in your top five, too.
Yeah.
What about McCann?
I've got McCann ahead of all of them and would keep it that way.
Oh, well, yeah, me too. I'm just one. Okay, so what do I have different? I guess I'd have him fifth, too, but I have Perez in instead of Castillo. So, okay. I worry about Castillo's playing time, I guess, with Chris Herman there.
Yeah, that's not where you'll have with Perez as long as he's healthy, which he's not
right
now. Yeah,
right.
You know, Brian McCann, by the way, he got off to a great start. It was only like five or six games, I think. And then on April 12th, he fouled the ball off his toe, or he hurt his toe somehow, and he's been awful since then. So, yeah, I don't really know what
awful,
to say.
Awful, but kind of regressing to his usual batting average, right?
Yes, he's now at the 230 mark, yeah. But really, I mean, just bad year for him so far, and it all coincides with that toe injury.
Okay.
I feel like
catcher is just dreadful beyond the top two. There's such a cliff dive
after
you leave Jonathan Lucroy in the stand in the rankings.
Well, I mean, Posey's not. When you say top two, that one of them's Posey, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not exactly performing up to snuff either.
No. He had a good weekend, though. Good 40. He was one of the top five hitters over the 4 days of Memorial Day weekend, which surprised me. AJ Pollock says he's going to play this season. He's on track and possibly ahead of schedule, according to him. Ahead of schedule to resume baseball activity on July 1st. That doesn't mean he'll be back anytime soon after that, but start doing some baseball activity maybe in about a month for AJ Pollock. So keep him stashed if you can.
We got that letter yesterday.
That's right.
About him.
In fact, I only found out about it because somebody tweeted the news to me because we got that email. Yasiel Puig scratched with a sore hamstring. He's had hamstring problems in the past, but seems to be okay. He's expected to play today. Anthony DeSclafani could start for the Reds next week. Oh, Alex Colome owners, you might be in luck. Brad Boxberger left with a strained muscle in his side in his first outing, which was terrible, and came in the sixth inning. David Peralta could be back this weekend. Peralta 78% owned. Noah Syndergaard pitched in relief yesterday. He threw a scoreless inning and struck out too. Remember, he had a very shortened start last time out because he got ejected, so nothing significant here. This was basically a throw day. Christian Yelich returned. Bryce Harper did not. Giancarlo Stanton did not. He does appear close. Ryan Braun was back. He had an RBI. Brad Ausmus not committed to keeping Anibal Sanchez in the rotation, which could be good news for Michael Fulmer, Shane Green. And par for the course, Byron Buxton, 1-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. He did double, but 2 strikeouts.
Wah, wah.
We got an email from Adam. He said, who would you recommend picking up in a 13-team roto league, Leonis Martin or Byron Buxton? I need steals and average.
Yeah, I'd go Martin.
Man,
I mean, if you
I
need him
know.
Right now.
While he's on the DL, I think I might go ahead. If Martin is out there, I don't think anybody's going to beat you to him while he's on the DL. So pick up Buxton. Give him a test run. If he's Buxton like we saw earlier this year, then yeah, you can still make that switch.
So coming up on the show, Corey Kluber, James Shields, other pitchers. Let's see. By the way, Brad Miller, not so bad lately. Other pitchers that we're going to talk about, Garrett Cole, a lot of hits lately. Lance McCullers, a lot of walks lately. Scott Kazmir, 80% owned. Should Scott Kazmir be more than 80% owned, guys?
No, I mean, my question was, should he be 80% owned and now given the way he's pitched lately? I mean, I think he's earned that.
Yeah, but, I would say so.
But more than that, I don't know. I do want to see more from Kazmir still.
Well, in what scenario would you not have Kazmir? Because I'm having trouble coming up with one. I think based on his track record and the fact that 3 of his last four starts have been flat out dominant, coinciding with the spike in velocity,
I would
assume he's right back on that track record he had already established.
More importantly, you know, with the velocity, the wrist injury, which he said was affecting him, he got over the wrist injury, and okay, he's been good. Other than that Padres start, which is just weird, he's been very good since then.
Yeah, no, 3 of the last 4.
Right.
And this was a 1 hit in 6 innings. I think, what, 20 total strikeouts in his last 2 starts? That's, you know, if it came down to it, I think I would drop, like, Drew Smyly for it. I probably have an even lesser pitcher than that on my roster, but if it came down to it, Kazmir's doing the kinds of things that got me to buy into Smyly so much in the first place.
Yeah, well, okay, so I've got a team, one of our office leagues, head-to-head league, where I've really had trouble making room to bring out a pitcher because I like the pitching staff so much. And strangely, that the team is 4-4, so it's not that great, but I really love my pitching staff. But I've been stashing Kevin Gausman, and after last night, that's a move I would make in that league.
Yeah.
So, multi-home run club. Here are the guys who hit 2 home runs or more yesterday. Mookie Betts. We talked about him. Charlie Blackmon, Nolan Arenado, Seth Smith, and CJ Crone. I have things to say about just about all of them. All right, I'm going to throw them out there. Charlie Blackmon, where are the steals, buddy? Last 2 seasons, he stole only 28 bases. Well, 28 bases is good, but not amazing in 2014.
In this climate, only 28. That's 28 is all right.
Well, 28 is good, but he stole 43 last year. So far this year, 3 steals in 5 attempts in 38 games. So does that change your perception of Charlie Blackmon at all?
It does. It does because, I mean, the reason he was as highly regarded as he was, particularly in roto leagues where he think he was getting drafted in the 3rd round, if not higher, was because he was such a big contributor of this, what at the time seemed like a scarce commodity. I'm not sure how it stacks up right now, but I'm under the assumption steals are still not readily available. So if he's not, like, I still think he'll be a quality outfielder for you, but, you know, if he's going to be this 15 to 20 steals guy, it's not what you drafted him to be, and it probably drops him outside of the top 15, maybe even the top 20 outfielders rest
of
the season.
I think 15 to 20 feels a little low. I understand he hasn't stolen that many, but steals are bunchy. Well, they can be streaky, right?
I don't know. A third of the way through the season, and he has 3.
Well, he had a DL
sign with injury, but he would have to go on a pretty. He would really have to change the trend here in a way that maybe the Rockies just aren't built to do, or not wanting to do with the configuration of their lineup this year.
All right, I think Charlie Blackmon will end up with more than 20 steals. Al, do you agree?
I'll take the under on 20.
The under. All right. Bring it on, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm somewhere sort of between the views that you and Scott have put out there because I do think that they're bunchy. So I would think there's probably some upside for Blackmon in the steals total. But, I mean, he's yeah, he's not on a good pace right now. So
he's on a 10 steal pace. So give him 15 to 20. Exactly. I'm already granting him some improvement.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. By the way, Manny Machado, no stolen bases so far.
Oh yeah, I've given up on that.
Yeah,
that's just odd. The one, you know, just one season.
That's very strange.
All the stolen bases.
I do wonder if it has to do with where he's hitting in the order, because last year he was a leadoff hitter. This year, mostly third, I think. Some leadoff, but not that much. But isn't he hitting leadoff again now or no?
No. Well, I know yesterday he hit third.
Okay, so he's back to third.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of leadoff.
No.
I was, because it was such an outlier and because it was, you know, 20 and not 40, I was thinking of steals as a nice bonus for Machado. Kind of like with Chris Bryant. Like, if you get him, okay, that's nice, but you don't really count on them.
Yeah. Seth Smith and CJ Cron, do you guys have anything to say about these fellers?
Can't say that I do, but nice night for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Smith's ratios are awesome, but obviously he's a platoon player, so... There's limits to the, like, a 400 or 393 on base percentage.
Wow.
But he's kind of always done that.
Yeah.
Well, here's a FanDuel tip for you. If there's a game at Coors Field, try to find a cheap pitcher so you can have some Coors Field action. Probably would have won you a lot of money last night. Over 1 million users have won money on FanDuel, and you can be a part of that. The games are fun. The money is an added bonus, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, winning money's great, but you're going to have a good time playing on FanDuel no matter what. FanDuel is a way to play more fantasy baseball, a different kind of thrill, a different kind of challenge. You get to test your skills against other fantasy baseballers when you play on FanDuel.com, and we absolutely love FanDuel. We got a whole podcast dedicated to daily fantasy sports. Daily Fantasy Live will help you with your FanDuel lineup. It's fun. It's easy to use, easy to play. It's hardly any commitment, inexpensive. Contests start at just $1, and there's a special offer for new users. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. That's promo code HOMERUN with no spaces. Everybody,
it's an easy promo code to remember.
Yeah, right. Everybody used that promo code yesterday. Other guys who homered. All right, split the other guys up. I didn't do everybody, but many. Other guys who homered, I split them up into the frequent homerers and the much less frequent homerers. Here are the frequent homerers that homered yesterday. Daniel Murphy homered again. I don't know if we ever got into this. Did I mention this yesterday, Al?
I don't think if it's Daniel Murphy related, you did not.
Yeah, so he changed his approach last year with Kevin Long, the Mets hitting coach, and he, you know, he said his strength was always making contact, but sometimes he wouldn't swing at good pitches, and he changed his approach where he zeroed in on pitches and just tried to kill it and got a lot of power, and it's carried over. So he homered again, Springer homered again, 8 games batting leadoff before yesterday. He was batting .371. I think he's batting about .500 as a leadoff hitter in 9 games.
Yep.
And slugging over 600, probably over 700. He's been great. Danny Valencia, since he came off the DL on May 7th, is batting .359 with 8 home runs since May 7th. He homered yesterday. Carlos Gonzalez has homered in 4 straight, and Corey Seager's picked it up over the last 28 days. He's the number 4 shortstop in fantasy behind, this list might surprise you a little bit, Bogarts, Desmond, and Jonathan VR. Anyway, the names again, Murphy, Springer, Valencia, Cargo, Seager, discuss.
Well, I think maybe a lot of people haven't been able to capitalize on Valencia's production because it's been bunchy, and that's made you, okay, I'm going to pick him up because he's hot. Oh, but he's cooled off now, so I'm not going to play him. Oh, look, he's heating up again. But this is, what, how many at-bats is he up to this year? 150 or so, combined with the 300 or so he had with the Athletics last year. I mean, we're talking about nearly a full season. So about 400 at-bats between, I'm sorry, about 300 at-bats. So not quite a full season, but a really long stretch of time where he's performed like an elite third baseman, a Chris Bryant-level production, I would say. So I think maybe it's time to just consider Valencia somebody you stick in your lineup, whether it's a third base or outfielder, corner infielder, wherever, and just ride it out.
Yeah, and he's only 72% owned, so Valencia is still out there. I mean, I guess I'll give you some names. If you're in a shallower league, would you drop Matt Duffy for Danny Valencia?
Absolutely.
I would too.
Who do you think will be better rest of the season given this injury? Miguel Sano or Danny Valencia?
I still think Sano.
Yeah, but that's Valencia's a nice replacement if you just lost Sano.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other third basemen. Such a deep position. People are pretty set there. Jung Ho Gong.
Maybe like Longoria.
Well, how about Gong first? You know, just in a vacuum as a third baseman, forget about the other eligibility. Who do you think will be better?
Versus Sano?
No, versus Valencia.
I'll still take Gong, but obviously you have to start Valencia over Gong right now because of the inconsistent starts for Gong.
Yeah, what Scott said.
Okay. All right, fine. Longoria or Valencia?
Valencia.
Yeah, combine the two of them, Longencia. It's a tough call. A little bit of a renaissance for Longoria, but I will go with Valencia as well.
All right, Daniel Murphy. If you were drafting today, what round do you think you'd take Daniel Murphy in?
Boy, I think probably like sort of like Matt Carpenter territory, which was kind of hard to figure out because at least for me, because I valued him a lot more than most people I was drafting with. But I you know, because he's in the top four or five in the position, I think.
Yeah. So I think I have him fifth at second base.
So I'd say probably fourth round.
I was thinking more like six or seven though. Because I don't think, I mean, second base is one thing because there's a lot of middle tier players at that position. But third base, obviously, you have the big three. You'd still take Brian over him. You'd still take Frazier over him, I assume.
Yeah.
And then after that, Carpenter. Still take Carpenter over him. For me, he's more like in that Kyle Seager, Miguel Sano range.
I guess I've really bought into Murphy because I mean, he's still, you know, Adam was talking about how, you know, he's always hit for contact. He's still hitting for contact. He just added the power skill in a big way. So yeah, I'd feel okay. Maybe, you know, in a real draft, maybe I'd be taking him too early, but I feel like that's his values.
Well, and to be fair, I would take him ahead. Like I think seventh is where I slot him at third base between Frazier and Sano Seager. So that to me is more like round six or round seven. So I am buying into him to a degree. I mean, is he going to hit 400 like he is now and actually raised his batting average in May?
Yeah, he will. He's going to hit 400. You've heard it here first.
Well, he's done it a third of a season.
No, he won't.
Yeah, I know you were being sarcastic, but I mean, is hitting 340 good enough? Is it reasonable that he could hit 340?
At the end of the year or from this point forward?
You mean from this point forward, is it reasonable to think Daniel Murphy at the essence of Daniel Murphy is a 340 hitter?
I mean, there's so few 340 hitters in baseball. That's asking a lot.
Right. I bet against it too. So I mean, if you're going to take that approach with him, he doesn't quite profile as a 20 homer guy. So you're kind of talking about, I don't know, kind of a Kyle Seager type player, except he does batting average better than power, right? I don't know if I broke that down very well.
No, you did.
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, his history doesn't suggest he's a 20 homer guy, but going back to last year's All-Star break, I don't know what he's up to now. I think it's 23 or 24. Right. Well, that by the way, that it does include the postseason, I think.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, he's just hit a lot of homers since last July.
He's up to 9 now.
So, Daniel Murphy,
yeah, you're right.
About.
I mean, maybe if he is a 20 homer guy, yeah, that does give him. But I want to compare him to Matt Carpenter, but now Matt Carpenter isn't a batting average guy, so I don't feel like there's any really good comparison for Daniel Murphy at any position, and so it makes it hard to gauge his value. But I mean, if we're still taking Frazier over him, and Frazier's batting what 213 right now or something like that. That says something in itself about how sustainable we think this pace is, or not sustainable we think this pace is for Murphy.
Here are the much less frequent homerers from yesterday. We'll also have some Grade the Trade coming up in a little bit. DJ LeMahieu, top. He's 10th in points. He's 13th in Roto at second base, and much better at home. Gerardo Parra, much better at home. 593 OPS on the road, 898 at home. But only 4 home runs this year, 5 steals. Adam Lind and Franklin Gutierrez in that blowout for the Mariners, and Jurickson Profar homered. It's getting interesting there. This is a pretty interesting list, I think.
It is. Actually, the last two guys are very interesting to me. Profar, you know, the comment was made yesterday out of the Rangers organization that he could stay with the team when Odor comes back. And I just worry that the people may overreact to that news because it would be in a utility role. Now, I think this is just complete conjecture, but my guess is that they would keep him around long enough for him to build some value and then maybe get traded someplace where he could play regularly. And, you know, in that case, I mean, it's definitely appropriate to get really excited about Profar. And Gutierrez, I mean, he's not going to play every day just because of his health situation. But, you know, if you can find a week where he's got, you know, three or more starts against lefties in a roto league, you can use him.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Now he is playing close against some righties, too, yeah, because of the injury to Martin. But, yeah, I think in the long run, you're talking about just a platoon player. You know, Profar, in terms of potentially being exciting down the line, how would you rate his prospects of doing that versus like Javier Baez? Which is more stashable between those two? Because I'm still leaning Baez for that. I think his chances are a little better of finding full time at bats.
I'll agree, but that's a really good comparison. And the thing is that with Baez, I don't know that he's ever gonna take a job with the Cubs and run away with it. And I don't see him necessarily as somebody who's going to get traded.
Mm-hmm.
But in a super utility role, he should play more than Profar. But, you know, I could see Profar getting traded into someplace where he could play every day. So, yeah, right now I would agree that I like Baez better as a stash guy, but I think that could change.
Gerardo Parra. So yesterday I mentioned how I think the Rockies players were good buy low candidates because they had played a lot fewer games at home than on the road. They're finishing up a four-game home series against Cincinnati, and then they're back on the road for six games, I think. So middle of next week, they're still going to be like 10 games lighter at home than on the road, and Parra was an example. I think you might have missed your chance to buy low on Rockies hitters after last night. But Parra, just in general, I mean, got off to a really good start. He had a terrible May. I think this is off the top of my head. Yeah, since homering on May 1st, Parra was batting .255 with no home runs and no steals before yesterday. Scott, you were really high on him. He was a breakout guy for you. Do you still feel that way? And again, they have played fewer home games than road games.
He hasn't quite lived up to my expectations. I've been a little underwhelmed. I've been tempted to drop him at times in my three outfielder leagues, but I've always resisted because you look at where he actually ranks among outfielders, and I'm going to say points formats because that's usually the three outfielder format for us. You look at where he ranks, and it's always higher than I perceive it to be based on what he's doing for me in that moment. Right now, he's 36th between Adam Eaton and Matt Kemp. And obviously, you're not dropping Eaton or Kemp. So I think particularly throw in the aspect about how it's been more road games, and yeah, I think Parra's must own and somebody you should be starting every time they're home.
Well, let's skip around here and let's go to our rotation. Gerrit Cole and Corey Kluber. Cole has a .272 ERA. That's not bad. But he has a .134 whip. He's given up 26 hits in 18 and a third over his last three starts. Has really not been dominant this year. And Corey Kluber has been very dominant this year and has been very bad this year. Gave up six runs in seven innings. Inconsistent .415 ERA. I actually don't know where he ranks among starting pitchers. That's something I'm going to look up right now. But why don't you guys talk about Kluber and Cole, and if you guys have any concerns. And here was the Twitter poll that I referenced. I asked yesterday, who would you rather have rest of season, Carlos Carrasco or Corey Kluber? And Carrasco gets the nod, 53% to 47%. Go ahead, guys. Talk about those two.
Well, Gerrit Cole, you mentioned 26 hits in 18 and a third innings last three, only nine strikeouts. So that really, I think, drives home the point. But the lack of dominance has really been a recent thing, and I can't find any underlying issue that would cause him to go south the way he has in these last three starts. The fact that it is three starts in a row creates some worry to me because it's the development of a trend. But there's just not enough for me to actually change my assessment of him because of only three starts. You know, it's three starts, but it's three starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Cole's been mildly disappointing, I think, even earlier in the year. But, yeah, I mean, still, you just have to start him. And I think there's plenty of time for him to be the pitcher that we thought he'd be. And as far as Kluber goes, he's really becoming irritating. I got to say, I'm not benching him. It's just a mystery. And again, it's just the thing that it always comes back to is the low strand rate, which is what he's had every year other than his Cy Young season. And I still don't really know what to make of it. So I'll keep running him out there and keep looking for reasons to understand why he gives up as many runs as he does.
Top 40 pitcher, but not a top 30 pitcher right now, Corey Kluber. Lance McCullers, Hisashi Iwakuma, James Shields, other guys who went yesterday. McCullers has been wild. Four walks yesterday. Last start, he had six walks to 10 strikeouts. He's striking a lot of guys out, but 16 walks, 28 Ks, and 20 and two-thirds. And then Iwakuma was cruising along against the Padres, but he ended up giving up three home runs in the game and four runs total. And James Shields was just horrible.
He was.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anything insightful to say about those three?
Well, probably not, but I'll say it anyway. I've got Shields in a Roto League, have not started him all year long.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've tried to trade him. I haven't really been wowed by the offers that I've gotten.
Well, he was actually trending up before this start. He was coming off a six-start stretch where he'd lowered his ERA from 4.15 to 3.06. I mean, 3.06 is better than we're usually seeing from Shields.
Oh, sure. But I think even throughout that, the strikeout-to-walk ratio wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So I wasn't totally shocked to see him have this kind of start. But probably really have an even harder time trading him now. But, maybe another start like this and I just go ahead and cut him.
We don't really think of him. I guess last year was an exception in terms of the strikeout rate. It was off the charts by Shields standards, but back when Shields was at his most valuable, he wasn't like this lights out strikeout to walk guy. He was so valuable in fantasy because he threw so many innings, and maybe he doesn't do that to quite the same extent anymore. But I still see him as like among boring pitchers, among pitchers who you don't really trust to help you in strikeout rate or whip, they just kind of keep you afloat in those categories. I still see him as one of the better and more reliable of those pitchers. And I think that makes him basically must own.
Let's talk about fringy starting pitchers. I'm going to give you a name and an ownership percentage, and I want you to tell me, will Goldilocks it here? Too low, too high, or just right? I think we talked about Scott Kazmir at 80%. Al seems to think it's just right. Scott thinks too low for Kazmir. Kevin Gausman, 78%.
Too high.
Too high. I'll be part of the trend to lower that.
Colby Lewis, 73%.
Ooh, too high.
Way too high. I understand why it's so high, but there is some regression coming.
Patrick Corbin, 71%.
Also too high.
That was a really ugly start.
I picked him up
in the podcast league. He was the best two-start option available at the time I looked, thinking against the Astros, well, okay, pretty good chance of having a decent start then. They strike out a lot, and they shelled him. And so now he has the Cubs to look forward to in his next turn.
Yeah, he's been horrible. So 71% is too high right now for Corbin?
Yeah.
I think so.
64% Eduardo Rodriguez.
I say just right.
Just right.
64% Matt Wisler.
I'll also say just right.
I'm going to say too low on that. I have a feeling it's the 2-5 record and obviously not in a good situation for win-loss record, but he's been a true number two, number three type pitcher all season long.
And I will say that that 64% I'm sure has a lot to do with the fact that he had two starts this week. But he's somebody, I think, in a lot of formats, you could keep him around after this week.
Matt Wisler has a 1.01 whip, which is nice.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I expect him to have a low whip. The ERA, I think, will regress, but that whip's going to be nice all season.
I said amazing, by the way. Amazing.
It is. 1.01 is pretty amazing for a starting pitcher. Mike Leake, last four starts, he has a 159 ERA. Mike Leake is 57% owned.
That may be a little low. I mean, it's not exciting, but...
I was going to say maybe a little high.
Really?
But I guess we're hovering around just right.
Yeah, but, he's another low whip guy, and it's brought it down with his last... this nice run he's been on. I don't know how many starts it is.
Four.
But I think four in a row.
Four.
Yeah.
CC Sabathia, 55% owned. His last four starts, he has a 1.04 ERA.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think it's too low. And I picked him up in one league, didn't start him this week, even with the two starts, because I wanted to see how he did. I think there's a lot of potential in what he's shown, particularly since coming off the DL. But I wanted to see how he did with these two starts. So he aced the first test, and I think he's worth a stash.
I think it's too low as well.
That's, wow, that's CC Sabathia. Okay, 55% owned. John Gray, 52% owned.
I think this is far too low. I think it's a situation of people looking at his overall ERA, just the overall numbers instead of dissecting it start by start and seeing how dominant he has been at times. And it seems to be getting more consistent. I mean, this most recent start yesterday was a home start, and it wasn't one of his best starts, but it was still a quality start for Gray.
Yeah, it was. And his last home start against the Mets was very good. So John Gray's last five, he's had a very good one at Boston, a very good one at home against the Mets, one terrible start at St. Louis. But yeah, encouraging stuff. 52% owned. So would you rather have Sabathia or Gray?
I'd rather have Gray. He's the one who stands out to me as people are really sleeping on the upside here. If he can become anything close to usable at home combined with how dominant he is on the road, I think we're talking about a top 40 pitcher.
That's a little more optimistic than I've been, but I get it. I think the ownership rate is about right. I think I'm just way more scared of the home splits for Gray. Maybe irrationally so. I'd rather have Sabathia for now.
It's time to take our medicine. Tyler Duffy, 35% owned.
Bitter. And I was very high about people picking him up this week, and I did it too, so I'm suffering along with anybody else who got him. But I gotta say, after three in a row like this, that 35% is, I think it's just right. Probably some people think it's too high, but considering that I thought he should have been a 50-60% guy,
yeah,
I'm down to now saying, okay, that's appropriate.
I mean, 50-60 isn't that high. It still seems too low to me. I don't own him in, like, I've been dropping him in points leagues too, but those are leagues where, like, the least owned players are 70% owned, you know, at 35% for, as good as his good starts have been, as good as the strikeouts rate's been, even during this rough patch, I still think it's a little low.
Oh, Tyler Duffy. Okay. And Jake Peavy, 14% owned. Not interested. Great start at the Braves. Too high.
I do think, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But I actually do think it's just right.
Right.
And I'm guessing that there are probably a lot of people who think 14%, as low as it is, isn't low enough. But, you know, good start against the Braves. I do think he could probably be pretty good at home more often than not. So it's not really a great endorsement, but I do think, you know, in those deep leagues where he's owned, that he has some value. Yeah.
It just seems so low to me. 14% is like all NL only. He can't be owned in any deep mixed leagues.
Peavy?
I'd like to see him up in that 30% range where Duffy is now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
He's...
I mean, three of his last four starts have been great.
Well, all right. The one against Atlanta doesn't count.
I feel like he's slightly better than, you know, there's leagues where everyone with a job is owned. I think he's slightly better than that.
So as you know, we have a Sports Line podcast, The Opening Line, and I make baseball picks all the time. And by the way, PB's last start was against San Diego. So San Diego and Atlanta have been his last two starts. They don't count. But Peavy is the guy that I fade, kind of. I bet against him all the time, and I usually bet the team total for the other team over, but I haven't the last two times. Whoever he faces next, let's take a look at their schedule. He is just going to get destroyed. He's going to give up. It's going to be like the Cubs. One inning, two-thirds, seven hits, five runs against the Cubs three starts ago. Okay, so the next opponent for Jake Peavy will be... Where are we here? This is at St. Louis. Oh my gosh, he's going to give up so many runs. It's going
to
be epic.
Yeah, I'm not going to expect that to go well.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm going to suffer for being a literalist in this exercise because I feel like it's going to sound as if I'm endorsing Duffy and Peavy as opposed to just breaking down the depth of leagues and how ownership percentage should play into that. That's really all I was doing. I mean, okay. I don't think people need to pick up PV based on the way his last four starts have gone.
We are going tomorrow, no matter what. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about a few guys who have really been slumping. Chris Davis had an awful May. And Michael Franco, Michael Conforto, and Brandon Drury. We are going to talk about them. Three of them are must-own. Drury is only 65% owned, but he's really been struggling lately. So stay tuned for that. Right now, news and notes, and then we'll finish with Grade the Trade. David Wright's going to avoid the DL for now. He has a herniated disc in his neck. Toronto acquired Jim Johnson from the Braves for a minor league pitcher.
Did I miss something, or was that Grilly?
Jason Grilly. They acquired Jason Grilly from the Braves for a minor league pitcher. Just making sure okay. Al's paying
it
attention.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't now.
Today it'll be Jim Johnson.
Jackie Bradley's on the paternity list. Rusne Castillo was called up, but he did not start, and Chris Young started in center field. Brandon Phillips did not start, sore foot. Cameron Maben left after hurting his hand. This is disappointing. Mike Minor left his rehab assignment with shoulder fatigue. Austin Jackson dealing with turf toe. Avi Garcia played right field for the White Sox. If you own White Sox pitchers, you want Jackson back in there. And Brad Miller. Brad Miller is the number 11 shortstop over the last 28 days with 24% ownership. Miller's hitting .301 in that stretch with 3 home runs, 10 RBI, 10 runs, which is pretty low, 3 steals, 4 doubles, 4 triples. Are we seeing something here with Miller, or is this just another hot streak that will be followed by a prolonged cold streak?
I'm going to guess that just because, again, we have seen this before for Miller, so I think it's just part of his ups and downs. But what I was going to say is the longer that Miller plays well, the less we will see the Motter of all shortstops.
Oh, the guy's last name is Motter. I get it. Grade the Trade. Sorry, Al. I appreciate the effort. I laugh.
You did. I appreciate that effort.
So John has a Grade the Trade. He says, "Dear Fernando, Doc, Felix, and Julio." I think I know
this 19-year-old.
Yeah,
starting
right.
Starting pitchers.
Yeah. I've been offered Giancarlo Stanton for Jacob DeGrom. So you'd give up DeGrom to get Stanton. Grade the Trade.
I'll give that a B minus.
DeGrom for Stanton. Yes. I like that. B minus.
By the time people hear this, it might be too late, but I'm pretty hopeful, getting close to being excited for Jacob DeGrom today against the White Sox. I think it's about to turn for him. Feeling good.
Okay.
Andrew from Scotland. Can you grade a trade I accidentally accepted after a few too many? I gave up Nelson Cruz and I got Prince Fielder.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going D-. to have to go with I'll go D plus. I'm the most confident of any of our group in Prince Fielder bouncing back just because the strikeout rate is still so low for a power hitter. I don't think it's an age thing. But at the same time, I mean, this is not how this is not the way to acquire Fielder, if you agree, if you believe in him like I do.
No, it's that you definitely don't want to get drunk and trade Nelson Cruz for Prince Fielder. Tom in Virginia, I do it every time. Tom in Vermont, not Virginia Tech.
Not the Hokies.
No, grade the trade in a 5x5 head-to-head categories keeper league. Okay, try to follow along. Give up a $30 Bryce Harper and a $5 Michael Franco. Harper for 30, Franco for 5. Get Betts and Bogarts for $20 and $12. So basically $35, Harper and Franco, give them up. Get Betts and Bogarts for $32.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool trade. Gosh, that's tough. I have to go even see here. I really can't pick a winner.
You're a little more on board the Bogarts is elite, no questions asked train.
I am on that train, yeah.
I mean, he's certainly high end, but could Franco enter the high end discussion, particularly when we're talking long term? I just hate to give up Harper, I think, so I'll give it a C minus, but it's pretty close.
Tyson, grade the trade. Dear Royce, Renzo, and Helio. I don't know them.
I don't.
Yeah.
Former Giants shortstops.
Get
Royce Clayton.
Or give Gerardo Parra, get Jordan Zimmerman.
Okay. I'll give that a B plus.
Yeah, I'm just not as high on Zimmerman, so I'm gonna go even C on this one.
But how high are you on Parra?
I think also not as high as you are, but
I've said a couple times I've come close to dropping Parra. I would never have even considered that for Zimmerman.
Oh well, in that case, I am higher on Parra than you are.
Okay.
So next up, by the way, that's mixed martial arts. Royce, Renzo, and Helio, MMA. Jason from New York, grade the trade. 14 team roto. Give up. Ooh, this one's fun. Harper and Garrett Cole. Get Kershaw and Christian Yelich. Give up Harper and Cole. Get Kershaw and Yelich.
C minus.
I'll agree.
Okay, you'd rather have Harper and Cole.
I'd rather, Harper and Cole.
A few more grade the trades. Ted from Eugene, Oregon. 12-team head-to-head category league with OBP and quality starts. Give up Yu Darvish. Get Chris Davis.
So somebody's buying into Yu Darvish full price straight off the DL. I think just from a, just thinking in terms of risk avoidance, that's a good deal. I'll give it a B minus.
That's exactly what I was going to give it.
All right. Darvish for Davis, B minus. And Davis, we will talk about tomorrow. This is from Joe. Get Steven Strasburg. Give up Ryan Braun and Chris Archer. You give up Braun and Archer, you get Strasburg.
I don't
Strasburg.
Love it. It's just it's a lot to pay.
It's another C minus.
Yeah.
Okay. And Whitney in Denver. Dear John, Daenerys, and Tyrion.
That sounds like Game of Thrones. I don't watch it, but that sounds like the style of names they have. Am I right?
You are correct. That is Game of Thrones.
Lots of Johns.
Yeah, so many Johns. Of course,
lots
they spell...
Of wise.
They're crazy.
Lots of wise in names.
They spell John without an H. That's how you know it's Game of Thrones. Okay, 33-man roster, 10-team Dynasty League. Player values increase $3 each year. So, you give up $5 Taiwan Walker, $2 Nick Castellanos, and a $0 Aaron Nola. So $7 combined for Taiwan Walker, Castellanos, and Nola. You get a $32 Jose Abreu.
I can't get behind that at all. That's a lot of value to give up.
That's an overpay. I'll say D plus here.
Ready? Oh, man. You know, it might make it like, is the number of keepers limited? Like, can you keep everybody on your roster? In which case, you're obviously keeping all three of Walker, Castellanos, and Nola. That makes a difference. I'm thinking even D. I'll go lower than Al.
Yeah, I mean, Abreu is going to be $35 next year.
Yeah.
That's not really great value.
No.
Okay, guys. So I posted the question, who would you rather have rest of season, Mookie Betts, Giancarlo Stanton? I have 332 votes. Why don't you guess the ratios?
Well, I think Mookie Betts is probably going to be ahead just because the audience is a little more reactive than we are. So I'll give it 65-35, Mookie.
I'm sorry, Mookie versus
Stanton.
I'll go 60-40.
73% Mookie Betts.
Okay. Whoa. Underestimated the reactivity.
Running away with it. That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the home runs. I'm Adam Azer for Al Melchior and Scott White. Peace out.